Hello!
Hello!
If you'd like to listen to Running Commentary ad-free and get access to other exciting advantages...
And support us in our dotage.
Yes, subscribe to us on Acast Plus now.
Subscribe to the Plus and get the good stuff from us.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is Plush Care. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
RIP first of
Kelvin Kiptum.
Kelvin Kiptum.
Incredibly sad news.
Yeah,
this
really bad.
Episode is dedicated to his memory. 24 years old.
Yeah, world marathon
holder.
The
fastest marathon runner in the world.
Yeah.
2 hours and 35 seconds.
Died in a car crash last night with his agent and a friend as
it
well.
It was his coach, Gervais. What was his name? Gervais something. Give me a second and I can tell you his name. Hakizimana.
Right.
Gervais Hakizimana was his friend. Known him since he was a little boy.
Right.
He's older than him.
Yeah.
And someone else, but the lady they were with was okay, but they both died. And that's the end of that. I mean, he was going to be...
Yeah.
He would have gone sub-2 in Rotterdam.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's to his credit that that record might stand for years longer because...
Yeah.
Yeah, just a terrible, just sudden...
Absolute peak of his ability there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was reminded of... what's his name? A baby Bikila, who's the one...
The guy run barefoot.
Yeah, one of the fastest
early
marathon runners to come out of West Africa.
60-64.
And the one in Marathon Man.
Yeah.
He had a car accident.
Yeah.
But he survived it. It was very bad.
Okay.
Came over here to Stoke Mandeville and gained... they got movement back in his upper body.
Right.
And he was still an amazing sports person after that. After he got the movement of his blooming arms back after this disability, he then, in the very early version of the Paralympics, the Stoke Mandeville Games, he won the archery and the table tennis.
Yeah. Incredible.
And then he did, actually, in the end, in an indirect way, he still died a few years after his car crash from a related thing. So... It's awful, isn't it?
But
I suppose it's...
They've got an unfortunate record, the Kenyans. A couple of the elite marathon runners have died.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just immediately post-career or towards the end of their career. Yeah.
Bless him. Terrible. Terrible news.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here's to Kelvin Kiptum and what an amazing... Not just a record, but an amazing run.
Yeah.
You know, only ran a marathon, the first marathon, a couple of years ago. And that world record, he just came in looking...
Yeah.
He was...
Fresh.
The
form.
People. A baby who used to come in and touch his toes a few times and say, well, yeah, I reckon I could go another 10K.
It's the maintenance of form, isn't it, that these guys have? They're just... The form doesn't seem to disintegrate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Incredible scenes. Meanwhile, we're running through a sun-kissed Finsbury Park.
It's
and
really
the birds
nice
are singing like mad. It's absolutely beautiful.
And we've both run for about an hour and a half up to this point.
Yes.
Sort of, because you're looking for a bit of a long Monday as well, are you?
Yeah, that's right. Well, it was a classic.
Very relaxed pace.
Like last week, I was returning a hire car, but my wife's on half term, so she came with me and we did the whole Ali Pali thing. And what a day for it. The view of London.
Yeah.
Just incredible.
We just ran for 10 minutes with her. She was looking good.
Oh, yes.
She was running well.
Yeah. Well, it's great. Since we started running together in... lockdown, you know, my wife doesn't necessarily get to run all the time. She likes to.
Yeah.
But of course, she cycles to work every day, so that keeps her exercising.
Yeah.
Let's go around and pick up the river.
Oh, yes.
And it's impressive the way she can basically go out and run 10K at just the drop of a hat, because sometimes it's been...
Just drop
into
it.
She hasn't been out for a couple of weeks, you know, and it's really good. And it's lovely. I mean, it's just a nice bit of... I miss running with her.
Yeah.
Now she works Monday to Friday.
It's good to have a run and a chat.
I've only
with
got
her.
You.
Yeah.
It's a different chat, a different kind of chat. But it was excellently leisurely. We were late for Paul because we kept bumping into people we knew.
Yeah, nice.
Into an old friend's daughter and another comedian. It's like, hi, hi.
Yeah, that's
whereas
nice.
Normally when we're recording, we just, when we see people like that, we just ignore them. Yeah, we just barge them out of the way, don't we? Get out of it. Get them with a shoulder like an American footballer.
But suddenly I was chatting to John Walsh the other day, and he was saying, the first time I met you, you told me to get out of the effing way. I was coming down the steps at, you know, the boat show, and I was in a rush between shows.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was dithering at the foot of the stairs.
Yeah, right.
And there's no defending it. I didn't know who he was. I knew he was a comic. He was just being a bit dithery and looking back, sort of classic Walsh dithering.
Yeah.
And I was just moody. And I just told him to get out of my fucking way.
Well, I'm glad that you're glad that your
what
relationship
an awful person.
Survived.
Yeah. What a terrible intro. Have you met Tonkinson? Oh, yeah, he's really nice. He's really mellow, isn't he? I found him really... He told me to get out of the...
And was it's that funny. After you'd known him for a little while? No.
No.
That was the no. first words
first meeting. Not hello, how are you? I've heard good things about you. Have a good show. Just head down, blinkers on, in a rush, late for the store.
Get out of here!
Terrible. Nice one. Terrible behaviour. And have you had a good weekend, mate?
Yeah, well, it's another travelling weekend. I got a car again. I got a car that I was allergic to, which is difficult. Because it gave me breathing difficulties. Luckily, I was only driving for 450 miles in it.
Yeah, that'll go. That'll go like that.
The gigs were that. I went to Tynmouth.
All right, yeah.
And I think there was at least one listener in, so that's nice, hello. But also, I've never seen so many people run. It was great.
Really? Oh,
got
nice.
There and looked at the seafront. And just, I mean, I think maybe because it was the time of day, it was about, would have been early evening, about 6.
But still.
And just runners.
Yeah, you realise just the family of runners. I mean, well, just then, just waiting for you, because you're a little bit late.
It wasn't a vengeance lateness, it was nothing like
as late as me. But it was beautiful to just sit there and watch, and so many runners just streaming past. I find it quite moving, actually, seeing all the runners.
Yeah.
There's something about it, I find it quite emotional.
Well, I need to get in touch with, what's his name, Robert Elms on BBC Radio London.
Yeah.
Because the last couple of years, I had a kind of abortive attempt to report in live to the London Marathon.
Right.
Whilst running it.
Right.
And he broadcast from the Cutty Sark.
Oh, nice, okay.
So I was literally running past trying to talk to them, but it didn't work because the whole rig was broken because it was all raining. Couldn't work my phone, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Anyway, the time before that, I'd done Brighton.
Yeah.
So I wasn't doing London, and I was with them on the deck of the Cutty Sark.
Nice.
And I'm hoping to do that again this
year. Oh, that'd be good.
Because, like you say, it's just watching the runners come past.
Yeah, the stream of it.
Just incredible, particularly if you're there... You know, it's like any point, if you go and stand by the barriers at Tower Bridge or whatever, it's so moving just to see all those people. But to watch people get to Cutty Sark early, one, it's such a moment, isn't it? It's like it's very much the end of the beginning. And two, you see, because everyone's only just funneled in, you can see every part of it. You see the elite, the kind of amateur elite, the super fast amateur runners, and then you just get to the people, you know, and if you're there for a while, then I went and watched basically the front runners come past and thought, oh, look at them go, what an incredible thing.
Amazing,
certain sort of types, and then you come away, I came away and spoke on the radio and stuff, and then went back to the edge of the deck again and saw old people in costume, people running together, people
that's
in group
amazing.
Costumes, you know, when you get eight people running in a boat and things
really
like this.
Really bad idea. Yeah.
Terrible, it's just going to be disastrous.
Yeah.
Oh, the costume thing is hard. But yeah, I hope I could be up there again, because like you say, it's moving, but it's also interesting what you say, it's just moving to watch any given runner. I have that. It's difficult for me when I'm not running.
Right.
And I see someone running. I just want to...
Want to join in.
Yeah.
Well, it makes it very painful when you're injured, certainly.
Yeah.
I just want strangers
to know that I'm them. Yeah. That I'm with them.
I'm one of them, yeah.
Yeah.
I am you, you is me.
I should wear some kind of tabard.
Yeah.
So, let's talk running. We've both run a bit today. I wanted to go back a bit because, indirectly, because... Apologies to Nicola Cartledge, big running weekend, paced a friend to their 10k PB in Victoria Park yesterday.
Nice.
You
were going to go to that?
I was going to do that marathon, wasn't I?
Yes.
I never did.
The half, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, half marathon, sorry. I didn't do it because, first of all, I couldn't afford to buy a place.
Right.
And then by the time it came around, I thought, I tell you, come Sunday morning...
You're
not going to want to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Too much. And it's what a relief because, as I say, I was in the asthma mobile. So I would have been coming home and going, sleeping for 3 hours and going out. And anyway, when I said that to you, I'm going to run that half marathon, I was like, yeah, and that'll be my 13.
Yeah.
I'm not going to run 13 till then. And that was 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
It gave me the fear.
Right.
I heard myself and I thought, sounding pretty blasé there, Rob.
Yeah.
So I went out the next day and ran half a marathon.
Yeah.
To prove to myself that
nice.
I could.
Yeah.
And it was good because it was tough.
Yeah, yeah.
It was totally within my power.
But it's difficult.
But it's difficult. And also, I love getting mileage up, like today, by sort of pulling together different runs and sociable stuff and running to you and all that. But that is easier psychologically.
Yes, it is, yeah, because it chunks it down, doesn't it?
Chunks it down.
Different things. When you go out on your own, because I ended up doing like 19 miles on Wednesday.
That's 19, 1-9.
Yeah.
Not 90.
I found it very difficult. I found it very hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just like, you get in a rhythm about 11, 12 that carries you for a bit, but the last few are hard. The whole thing's hard.
Yeah. Also,
and it tired me out.
This last couple of weeks, and I haven't been as far as that, so I'll come up against it, but I'm finding the first hour hard.
Yeah.
Because it's just that knowledge.
Yeah.
That kind of fear.
You know there's so much more to go.
Yeah, yeah. And you think, oh God, but this is already difficult.
Yeah.
I've got 3 miles and I feel tired. In a way, it's good practice because we know that feeling in marathons.
Yeah.
I think we're quite good at ignoring it.
Yeah.
You know, just working through all your emotions and discomfort and just whatever goes through your head in the first 10 miles of a marathon. You kind of think it, dismiss it, because you're trying to get to the point where you can negotiate with the marathon. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But so this discomfort, this first 10K of a long run, discomfort is... It's practice for that, isn't it?
Yeah, sort of,
I suppose.
Sort of chunking it down. I mean, the 19 for me, because it was round Hampstead, so...
Yeah.
It took me about 3 hours 40.
Yeah.
It's a long time to be on your feet.
Yeah.
And I just found it...
Trail as well.
Yeah.
Going over the
I just found it tiring. You know, Thursday, Friday as well.
Yeah.
It just took it out of me.
Yeah, you knew you'd done it.
It just sort of... it's that thing of maybe because I'm a bit older.
Yeah.
Haven't been training as much.
Yeah.
Just the long runs are taking it out of me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's no way around that. You just got to do them. I mean, it's just like, you can't not do them.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
some people would argue that you could just not do them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, would obviously mean a major change of lifestyle and plan.
Yeah, I know, but it would also mean... Just the physical reality of not doing them and then lining up for the MDS. It's just ridiculously stupid. I mean, I've just got to do it.
Yeah, particularly, I mean, you know, you'd have to not do that, wouldn't you? And and even if that was, everyone knows that that would never be a good idea, but you've been down that road with the Race to the Stones.
Yeah, yeah,
so you've tested that theory.
Yeah, I've tested the idea that I can get fit during the race.
Yeah.
You know, that... That it'll be all right on the night.
Yeah.
So I've got to... But another thing that's just happened the last couple of runs, I've definitely had a bit of chest discomfort.
Ooh.
Bit of sort of not, I'm not sort of... Nothing sharp, but just a little bit of heaviness.
Are you worried that it's your heart or is it your lungs?
Yeah, no, I've got no idea. I mean, I can feel it a bit now, just a dull... sort of ache.
And of course, you did have that, what, you know, flu, COVID, whatever. You had a bad chesty illness.
Yeah, over
before Christmas. It's not that long ago, is it?
No, it's not. No, and I wondered whether the long run might have sparked it. I don't know, but it was like, it's just something I'm sort of keeping an eye on, you know.
Sorry,
obviously.
Look at this. This is a Mayflower, hawthorn, on the other side of the river here. It's absolutely beautiful. Feels like it might have actually come out today in the sunshine, you know. I don't think any of us realised how nice it was going to be today.
That is beautiful, yeah. I'm not feeling a bit crook out there. I'm not sure it's my heart. I keep getting like shooting pains down my right arm, and it feels like there's a truck sat on my chest.
Yeah, do you sometimes pass out for hours at a time?
Yeah, feeling really dizzy.
Yeah.
And just passing out.
And mainly.
And then I wake up and someone's got a like defibrillator on my heart.
Yeah.
Sort of bouncing on my heart. I don't think it is my heart.
That must be a terrible shock.
Yeah. But it's definitely not my heart.
Yeah. It's just a friend of yours. You know that guy who rubs the two irons together and says, clear?
Yeah.
That's just his thing.
Yeah, that's just what he likes to do.
That's what he does.
I think it was an April, sort of early April Fool's thing.
What are you at, mate? I missed it. I was just having a nap.
But
we're
being light about it, but obviously.
Yeah, it's a concern.
But sometimes I get that in marathons when I'm pushing it, or at long runs, and it's that to what extent the heart is a muscle that you're training, and muscles feel discomfort as you train.
Yeah.
And then to what extent is this a like, you really need to stop now? Because you came up against that in York, didn't you?
You had a bit of that heart, and it is
one of those things,
isn't
it?
Yeah, you want to run through it, and also...
Well, you don't. You do and you don't.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
You instinctively do, and then one instinctively knows when something is wrong.
Yeah, and obviously anything acute, you stop. I'm talking
about...
But
you do look cute late on in the morning. In your little singlet.
Anything that cute. Stop.
No, it's true. And I think there's also, aside from our specific aches and age and woes, it's a distance running thing, because you're never, even when you're pushing it, what am I trying to say? The impact of it is not topical.
Yeah.
You know, if you run 100 metres or even a park run and run flat out, then your body gets very like, oh, you know, you can end up with your hands on your knees going, at the end. Whereas if you go out and run, like you say, for an hour and a half, then you don't suddenly think, oh, that's hurting my knee. Or sometimes you do, but
it's just a slow kind of burn.
It can be more subtle.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean it isn't bad. That was what
the
York Marathon was like. So wait a minute.
Yeah.
Something's wrong.
Wait a minute. And as long as it stops when you stop running, then
that's key.
Then I think you're fine.
I certainly have that with the less scary, you know, less internal organ related stuff.
Yeah.
Recently with long running, I want to get some new shoes as well. My knee was really bad last week.
Right.
As long as it hurts less when I run.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I've had a bit of, I think I need new shoes. I think these are wearing out because just feeling it.
Yeah.
My toes always hurt when I set off.
Right.
My left foot, like they're all bunched together, you know?
Yeah, you've got to, that's a timing and budget issue, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although some people have got in touch with good vegan shoes. Thanks for responding to that, guys. I noticed, though, part of what I meant about sustainable is... Basically, you can get vegan modern ones where you can use them once and run a really fast marathon. But
yeah,
it's great that there's no animal products, and it's sustainable theoretically because of where they got them. But it's not actually sustainable in itself, is it? If you buy them, use them, buy some more.
Yes.
That's not great.
No.
I'm very happy to compromise. I know that you can't have a shoe as high-end as that and have it for all your runs. That's the whole point, is that they're one-off shoes.
Yeah.
But I'd rather have a really good pair of vegan shoes that I could wear for 6 months.
Yes.
Even if it didn't knock whatever percentage it is off
your
marathon time. Anyway, good info. Keep it coming, is what I'm saying.
Did you fall off yesterday, Lee?
Yeah, I had a drink yesterday. But it was very much, it was really naughty of me in terms of my wife, because she would have stayed. We said we'd do 4 weeks in February. I said this to you as well. And it's been about a week and a half.
Right.
She's on half term.
Yeah.
And I knew that, and I kind of really missed her when I was off on the road on Friday, Saturday.
Right.
I got up yesterday, and it's not irrelevant that we were having Kedgeree.
Nice.
Because Kedgeree, even though it's basically a kind of brunch meal
right.
that we serve at midday, 12:30, it goes really nicely with a beer.
Right.
So I said, listen, I don't feel guilty about this. It feels right, and it's definitely not. We're going to get back on the wagon. But I propose an amendment.
Right.
Because you're on holiday.
Yeah.
And I went to the shops and got some beer and wine.
The amendment was quickly seconded.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't that quick.
You put it to the board.
She was like, well, should we? I was like, go on. You know. So by this morning, she was saying, I wish I hadn't done that. And I was like, oh, no, I'm sorry. It was my fault. So,
well,
sorry,
I had
a lovely day, though.
I fell as well.
Yeah.
I had a fall. I had the Sunday fall. I was just, it's a sort of home alone thing.
You were saying before we started recording.
Same before the recording.
It reminds me of some very early episodes. That thing of when no one, so you're at home, just you and Rudy and you haven't really seen Rudy.
Yeah, Bonnie's in New Orleans doing Mardi Gras. She sent me a message saying, it's really mad, it's good fun, but everyone's got guns. My mate got racially assaulted.
Wow.
Someone threw some beads at me and I've got a black eye.
Wow.
She's been travelling for 4 days.
Yeah. So what you were saying about not her settling in Canada and not getting in any danger, how's that panning out?
Well, she hasn't got to Canada yet. I mean, I'm hoping that she gets to...
And when she gets there, no danger.
Yeah.
If she gets to Canada.
But it's...
So instead of settling with some nice fellow in Canada, she's going to settle with some terrifying...
Some gun runner in New Orleans.
Some guy with a cane with a skull on the top of it and a big white hat.
And George is in South Africa.
Sorry.
George is in South Africa.
I mean, the funny thing is, does it feel different? It's not just that they're all out of the house. They're all around the world.
Yeah. Ra's in Canada.
Yeah.
Rudy's meant to be here, but hasn't been. He's sort of working.
Yeah.
So it's just me around the house, and I was determined not to drink.
Not to spiral.
And I just... It's that thing of... Just being no good on my own. I'm not going to beat myself up too bad about it, but just no good on my own. But it was proper sort of alky stuff.
Yeah.
It got to about 4 p.m. Kick-off for football was at 4:30.
Yeah.
And I associate watching the football with having a drink. And I was just... I was sort of shaking.
Yeah.
I was kind of shaking. And then I just kind of slumped and drove very quickly to the soups to pick up a really nice bottle of red.
Yeah.
And
just one bottle, though.
Well, I'd ended up doing 1.5. And that was it. You know, it was just sort of good fun. I don't feel too appalling today, but
yeah,
it was like...
It's the actual need, isn't it? That desperation.
It's a sort of...
Someone got in touch with that.
Help! Help me!
I think it was Emily who said...
Tips required.
Really feels our pain and notices our attempts at moderation, but was saying how she just packed it in a couple of years ago.
Just
get rid of it completely.
The joy of it.
It totally makes sense.
Yeah, it's the hell of compromise. Yeah.
But listening to us talk about this on a Monday, it does make quite a strong argument for it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And of course, like everything else, like the training... Just got to recognise how much more it costs when you're older. And I don't mean money.
Well, that's what I was thinking about. Training for MDMS, it's like...
MDMS.
Yeah, MDMS.
Training for the MDMA.
Yeah. The hell is the compromise. It's like either go for it or don't.
Yeah, you can.
But when you're midway, like poker.
Don't limp in.
When you're in some midway house of like... I'll do a couple of, whatever it is. It's just like, you know what you need to do. You need to lose some weight, do back-to-back long runs, sort out all the gear.
And you've got to.
And get your head straight.
But you have to do it.
And,
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I just realised I didn't hear you the first time. Sorry. She asked very nicely.
Yeah, I totally didn't hear a word.
Sorry.
So, but it's the same with life, isn't it? We all know what we have to do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And what makes us feel better.
Yeah, there's no...
And yet we don't do it. We don't always do it.
That's
so
right.
That's, that's up to us, really. Yeah. What you choose. But I'm not lying to myself. It's just like... Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
There's a long way to go, and I need to go there.
And once you get to the start line, there's still a long way to go.
Yeah.
Although clarity, did you get that? That it's not bat out of hell. It's highway to hell, they play at the beginning.
Right.
So, it makes much more sense.
Yeah.
Because bat out of hell sounds like my setting off too fast mantra, but no, it's not that.
Yeah, it's...
You're on a highway to hell.
It's still not a tune I'd
and
want to listen to.
You're going down. Yeah.
But, so yeah, these...
What about Copacabana? That was my instant Mallow noise. I didn't know I had one.
But yeah, we know...
Hey, Rob, do your Mallow noise.
We know these things. We know what we need to do.
We know what we need to do. Yeah. Well, the other... It's interesting how I've been...
Like you with your 100K, I mean, you know.
Yeah, and I've been... It's that thing of sneaking up on it, you know. I've been slightly... riding myself about training.
Yeah.
But now you say that, it's made me feel better about it. I'm basically finding ways to be a strict coach to myself.
Yeah.
So, like I say, 2 weeks ago, is you all blasé about half a marathon? Go and run one then.
Yeah.
And I did. And then I was just, when we ran last time, I kind of had that to tell you. I was feeling pretty strong, feeling good. Who are we hearing? Are they climbing? Oh no, it's just someone in the garden. We were going past the climbing centre and I thought we were hearing someone halfway up the tower. Anyway, what am I? I was just feeling, having my smug moment about that 13 yeah. miler. And then last week, several people who were running the London Marathon, which of course is 3 weeks after Brighton,
their
training programme must have made them all do 16.
Right.
Because everyone was coming back. Sophie Rayworth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Various other people, 60 miles Sunday week ago. And I thought, and their marathon is further away than mine.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So then I said to myself, a week after the 13 last Wednesday, I had to get out and do 16.
Right.
And I did.
Yeah.
And
it was tough.
It was tough, but yeah. Coming back to what we were saying, it was toughest early on.
Yeah.
I had a route that chunked it down. Like, and I'm better now. I used to fool myself. I go, if you run there, it'll probably be far enough. And if you don't know,
right,
and then you look, it's never far enough.
Right.
You know, because your subconscious is always playing for the short run. But I'm much better. I'm much hotter on how far it all is now because I've done it all before.
Yeah.
Particularly with the virtual marathon.
Yeah.
Anyway, I went out and the first, I'd say 3 to 6 miles, 5 to 10K, I'm thinking, this is tired. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I had a proper...
Tired and a bit boring, sort
yeah,
of.
Yeah, bored.
Because, you know, you've got so long to go.
And although I had some great music, that's another story. And my knee was really properly sore, a bit of a ITB issue.
Right.
Or was it BBC One? It's one of the two. Like, I couldn't run... I had to run in the middle of the road in Victoria Park because the camber was really killing my knee.
Yeah.
And look at these yellow crocuses in front of us.
Nice.
Gorgeous. And we've just come into Clitheroe Park. Anyway, the knee kind of carried on hurting.
Right.
But it's not bothering me. It just is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
And the run, when I got to 8 miles, it was like I said to myself, well, there you go. That's quite far.
Yeah.
So you're allowed to feel a bit rough now.
Yeah.
And I just never worried about it again.
Yeah.
And it just makes you realise how psychological all that stuff is.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then the other thing is that I think even when you're feeling really, yeah, potentially bored, beaten down by it, it can be a product of fitness.
Yeah.
Because your brain has got too much. Your brain is fine.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like someone coming with you going, is this a good idea? How well are you doing? How far was that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You really want to tire that idiot out and shut him up. Anyway.
We've got a lot of... we've also got a lot of experience.
Yeah.
So, you know, the fact that you're a little bit back on some people training for London or whatever, it's like... You know what it's... You know how to run
marathons. I know what's involved with this.
You know how to run marathons.
Yeah. But on the other hand, with the...
But you still got to do the work.
Ultra,
but you know,
on the other side. And I'm training. I'm playing for... I want the 26.2 to feel as doable as possible, as within my distance compass as can be.
Yeah.
But two other things, very marathony things, came up in that run last week. One was... I realised when I got back that I'd been running really fast.
Right.
It's that old thing. Sorry, I've just run into a stick which got stuck in my shoe.
Oh, no, sorry.
It's lucky. I was going to say,
looks
it's
like you've been stabbed by nature.
I said, lucky it didn't pierce my foot. I'm worried that it did pierce my foot. I'm just not feeling it yet. Like a dinosaur. That pain has... Luckily, that pain has yet to reach my brow.
Wow.
at that. That's
Do you know what that makes me think, mate?
Tough mother. You're a tough mother. Yeah, one tough mother just stabbing himself with sticks and picking them out and don't care.
There's my metatarsal. Just get under that.
Just shredding my meniscus because I'm a tough mother.
Shredded
what
do
you have for breakfast? Shredded meniscus and Achilles tendon.
Sprinkled it with shredded meniscus. Shredded meniscus.
Lactic acid and Achilles tendon. On a bit of calf muscle. Just cut it off my leg and I'm a tough mother.
Yeah.
Eat yourself.
And
keep going.
In real life. Anyway, my knee was hurting because of the camber.
So I stopped.
I felt like my toes were bunching up.
So I had to run in the middle of the road.
I wish I had some vegan shoes.
Everyone was beeping, but I'm sorry. Sorry, everyone.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
But yeah, it was cold.
Yeah.
I went out and thought, oh, it's cold today. And I have that, I don't know, sometimes I'd like to plan that a bit more.
Right.
I was cold. I felt like I'd found good form. And I knew I was, I didn't want to, I don't think I'd even thought about tempo. I just wanted to have good forward motion, you know, to not be plodding. Anyway, I ran the whole thing. It was a tempo run. It was between sort of 8:50 and 9:20
right.
for the whole run.
Yeah.
Which is, say, about a minute faster per mile than I thought I was running.
Yes, yeah.
So it's kind of good and bad, really. I'd rather be in better control of that.
Right.
But it felt great.
Well, it's quite nice if you're just doing it without thinking, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. And the other marathon-y thing makes me start to think, obviously, about what I want in Brighton. It's very hilly. What I want in Brighton, really, is just to feel strong all the way around.
Yeah.
I haven't done it without the home. Obviously, every marathon the last 6 miles is a battle.
Yeah.
But having done a lot of marathons, my last two Brightons were notably tough.
They're tough,
in the back straight.
Yeah, I've heard.
And I just want to find something for that, you know?
Yeah.
Other than going, oh, nearly there.
Yeah.
Thank you for the support.
Yeah. Yeah, just see it through. See the race through a bit better, sort of.
One of the things that got me there last year was starting to record this a little bit too early.
Right.
So that instead of it being the finish line, it was like the last 10 minutes where you're going, oh, God, I don't know what else to tell you. Great days. But, yeah, you know you've said in the past about how marathon training is training for that, getting to push them to the edge of the discomfort.
Yes.
Should we take the hill?
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
I'm going to get behind you, get you going up this hill in the sunshine. And also that means that I can walk up without you noticing.
Well, my
look at him go.
Heart just squeezes.
Strong. But I found a bit of a corollary to that.
Yeah.
Which is finding that emotional vulnerability that you find in a marathon or a long run. I mean, it's one of the wonderful things about it.
Absolutely.
It feels like it connects.
It breaks you up a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it strips
in
off a layer.
In a nice way, a really nice way, yeah.
It takes your
one of the pleasures
of doing
it. Your
defences away.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of the real pleasures of doing it. And also, in a funny kind of way, when you think about it, it's nothing to do with the whole running for charity, processing trauma thing. And yet, it sits together with it absolutely beautifully, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you run for someone you love or because it's something that's important to you, by running 15 miles, you radically increase your chances of crying about it.
Yeah.
Working it through. Yeah. Just getting these flowers. Look at those. That's the best. Yellow crocuses just behind Clissold Park House. And that sound. Yeah. Anyway, I had a little moment of that.
Right.
On this long run.
June 16, yeah.
I was coming down the long slope as you come over the A12 into the far side of Hackney Marshes where the parkrun starts.
Yeah.
And I was listening to Hero, my family of the year. The one from Boyhood.
All right, okay.
I don't want to be your hero. I don't want to be the big man. Just want to fight like everyone else. Which is, you know, it's a real nice sort of gently sad song.
Yeah.
It's in my book. I played it at the end of the Berlin Marathon.
Yeah.
It's just silence and that song playing. And like, it made me cry. And I was like, man, you leave off, guys. Can't handle it. So anyway, I was just thinking all that and thinking, well, I'm not sad today. And, you know, didn't seem to be connected at all. I looked down at the football pitches. And I thought of my dad.
Yeah.
Memories of my dad. I've talked to you about it before, going to Hackney Marshes and having to carry out the goalposts.
Yes.
And it
nice.
Being rubbish, you know, having a bad experience there about bloody 70 years ago, you know. Anyway, and then I thought about something exciting that's been happening around our house, not in a good way, which is my daughter's boyfriend broke his foot on his birthday.
Right.
He was playing football. He's a keen footballer.
Yeah.
And
he broke his meta.
Yeah, he had to go. You know, he's got proper injuries. His foot up and strapped up and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Had to cancel all the birthday stuff. Him and his family and my daughter were going to do. So, you know, it's a big deal. And it was like the day before. So the football made me think of that. And I thought to myself, oh, I should tell Dad about that.
Yeah.
And I just suddenly forgot that my dad wasn't around anymore for a split second and just through this really circuitous train of thought. But none of that would have happened if I hadn't been on that long run.
Yeah.
You know? And it was sad, but it was a lovely sad, and it was over in a second.
Did you tell him? I mean, I know a lot of people who talk to their relatives when they're no longer with us.
No, I mean, I thought that.
Some people do quite intentionally, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Send them a message
for years, you know.
Yeah, no, I totally get that.
But you're either that kind of person or you're not.
Yeah, I'm a bit more self-audience. I kind of looked at myself doing that and thought, oh, isn't that silly?
Yeah.
And went home and told my family, but they were saying that. They're saying, well, there you are. You were telling them about it, and there's a real truth to that. And also, it wasn't really a sad thing at all. It was a shock.
Yeah.
It was a nice. Well, it showed how to get a bit of love out, you know.
Showed how far the run was taking you.
Yeah.
Didn't it? Yeah.
And that's what it is, isn't it? That is. You just, if I wasn't training for these runs, I would not have had that emotional experience.
Yeah.
Just wouldn't have happened. Any time in the last year I've run 16 miles, chances are I've run to you, we've run around, I've run to somewhere else. You know, actually going out there and doing that long training run, it's just you and the world.
It's that running as discovery thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly.
You feel it. Do we talk about the park run hoo-ha?
Well, I think it's not, I don't think there's much there. It's been in the news. They've changed, got rid of all their old course records, right?
Yes, yeah.
And it is so that people who don't want that kind of run aren't put off by the whole thing, is the idea.
But
it's deeply tied in
I don't believe
with the
that,
culture though. War about gender.
Yeah.
I think, I mean,
I don't believe that off-putting thing for a second.
No, but I would also say that if that's why they did it and they're not being honest, I can understand that.
Oh, yeah.
That all the culture wars particularly that one, are so incendiary that to find a way around it without directly addressing it
might seem
slightly cowardly, but
there's
a sense to it, isn't there?
I suppose.
And also, people do find parkrun off-putting, and they shouldn't, so it's good that they play for that. It's just that element of people feeling... I said this to a friend the other day. I think the thing with parkrun is that, as is so often the conversation, and it's important to say, it's not a race, it's a run. And it doesn't even have to be a run, it's a walk, you know?
But
what's really true, and this is where the trouble lies, and also where I think a lot of our community are more likely to be miffed than some other people, is that the real truth of it is, it's whatever you want it to be.
It's both, yeah.
Which means that for some people, it is a race.
Yeah.
And I also think at a much more prosaic level, if I had a course record on the website, and as it is, I'm like, well, that seems fine to me. But if I had the course record for Highbury Fields and they just deleted it, I'd be a bit sad about that.
Well, I was chatting to... Because it's brought up all that, is it a run, is it a race kind of thing.
Yeah.
I was chatting to... someone on Twitter about it. It's all quite reasonable. It was a bit of a circular argument, but it's quite reasonable. And his angle was, parkruns, you've never done times and categories in the first place, and people shouldn't be annoyed about it.
Yeah.
But the reality is, it did.
Yeah.
Surely at least that was part of the reason why it's so successful.
Yeah.
And people are annoyed about it. It feels like you're sort of having a row with reality there. It's just like... it's arisen. It's everything to all people.
Yeah, yeah.
And for me, that's... part of the reason why it's so much fun, the Olympians and fun runners thing.
Yeah.
I personally have never met anyone who's been off put by the fact that records exist.
The people
we meet at the, you know, when we're tail walking the park run, there are all kinds of, I've met people who've walked in 45 minutes and think they've done a marathon.
Yeah.
They don't care.
No, that's right.
They don't care at all. And no. Good luck to them. I don't care that they don't care.
Yeah.
But you're right. Of course, they try to swerve a culture war thing.
Yeah, and things change, you know. I think when it comes down to it, if you really need a cup for your 5K, then pay the money and go and do a 5K. It's a free run. You've got to remember that. They said free weekly timed.
Yeah.
And it is. So if they're still doing that, then they're doing what they said they would do.
Yeah.
And if they were doing other stuff before that you liked, I mean, it's just life.
You know.
It's the nature of the internet, apart from anything else. It's the same as Facebook and Twitter not being the same as they used to.
But it is interesting. It's when male records get erased that this is all kicked off.
Yeah.
Because, you know, female records have been erased. And that sparked it off. But now it's the males have had it.
And now people are...
And now everyone's...
That's when everyone's upset. That's right.
You know.
Well, that says something,
but, you know,
it
does say something. But it, and the whole thing of, like, you know, if it was called a race, it'd be called part race.
Yeah.
It gives out chips and times. And to an awful lot of people... that is part of the fun.
Yeah, of course.
And of course, it's important to remember that won't change.
No.
It's still going to do that.
No,
it's just
exactly.
course
That's
records.
The bit, I mean, it's like
that's the thing to remember. It's a very nuanced thing.
Not
you
going
know.
Anymore. They're going to carry on going.
Yeah, of course.
And even if they didn't get their time, they'd still know how fast they did it. They'd still have raced next to the person they raced next to. So
yeah, because they're still going to time it and do categories
once more
and
round by
yeah, this one and age categories and stuff.
Yeah,
because that's just good fun.
Yeah,
and most people I know. An awful lot of people sprint at the end of a parkrun.
Yeah.
And that's fun as well.
Did you? Well, as I say, aside from the whole discussion, the lovely thing about it is that it is...
It's got people
it
talking
that
about
it isn't parkrun. The race, that it's all things to all people.
Yeah, totally.
And that will continue.
Yeah, I
it's
think
also,
so.
It's also... It's funny because it's incredibly popular.
Yes,
if
totally.
I have any issue with parkrun, it's that they haven't got tools in place to deal with how big it when you go to a really big one.
It's massively popular.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so who's finding it off-putting?
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
where have they been hiding?
Well, they're not there, are they? That's the
well,
thing.
No, but let's see whether it goes up. I'd be amazed if it goes
yeah,
up.
Yeah, that's true.
But we'll see. And it might do.
They may have been a bit...
And who knows? It might go up. Who knows?
Did you go to parkrun on Saturday?
No, because I've done away with all the records. What's the point? No, I didn't because I was... God, I had some drab. I just had some drab gigs over the weekend, mate.
Yeah.
It was one of those.
Where were you on Friday night?
It was one of those reality check ones. Well, there was one gig in Milton Keynes, which was a lovely gig, but I found myself on first both gigs.
Yeah.
And
we don't like going up first, do we?
No,
let's be honest about it. We don't mind. We don't like.
But I have to. And the second gig was a gig in front of. nice people, but the stage really squeaked when you're on stage, and the lighting was rubbish.
Yeah, I don't like that.
And the money wasn't great, and it's just like, it's important to recognise where you are so you can try and work out if you can get somewhere different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And at the moment, on this week's evidence, I'm sliding down the bill, doing rubbish gigs for no wedge.
Sliding off the broken stage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's important to own that. Do you know what I mean?
Something to work on. Something to work
on. Yeah, it absolutely is.
Hey,
yeah.
Isn't this where that cool guy got stabbed in the foot and just ran on?
Oh, yeah. It was incredible. He's one tough matter.
He's a tough matter.
He is a tough matter.
Who was that cool man in the woods? I'd love to. I'm just going to get home because I've got to have this removed. Yeah. Twang.
So yeah, but it was interesting. It was interesting how much.
Has tree.
It's interesting how much debate the park run thing. It was, you know, it was in the news, wasn't it? It was newsy.
Yeah.
Funny. It's a real phenomena, isn't it? I mean, whatever they've done something right over the years, haven't
they? It's a phenomena.
Yeah. It's not a fun race.
Well, I went to park run on Saturday.
Oh yeah.
After driving from Devon back to Bristol and staying with friends.
Yeah.
Very nice. And they live right near Eastfield Parkrun.
Right.
In Bristol.
Yeah.
In fact, I told my friend, she was saying that that's where she used to do all her brisk walks in lockdown.
All right, okay.
And cool. And she was saying, oh, I should go up there and do a brisk walk parkrun. I said, yeah, you must. And it's like on the same footprint. So that's a really...
Yeah.
It was really good to actually know someone well who was coming
parkrun
from a different way. You know, because I was like, yeah, that would be excellent. You'd enjoy that. You know what I mean? That's totally what it's for.
Yeah, of course.
I'm part of our parkrun community is people doing exactly that, you know.
Yeah, but
that's lovely.
Yeah, the problem is when people get prescriptive and say, why keep results for what's a social gathering? And it's like, it's not just a social gathering.
Yeah, whatever it is for
you. Because people don't sprint at the end of social gatherings.
No, they don't.
And they don't keep times or record it or have a barcode. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It can be whatever you want it to be. Yeah. So go on then. Sorry, I jumped in.
Free weekly timed. As long as it carries on being timed, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course.
So the thing I hadn't considered, which was silly of me really, this is a big one.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful day.
Right.
In Bristol on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Cold. And there's 750 people there.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot of people, yeah.
And it's funny how, you know, it's a bit... I've been to parkruns where they have... And I think this is connected because I think they're being maybe a little bit worried that they'll offend someone.
Right.
They didn't say anything about... If you think you're going to go this fast, stand here, start
right,
here.
Right.
You know, literally everyone walked towards the start from every direction. Like
right.
One, you know, so,
right, so it's
60%
just a big,
of the people just coming towards
mass.
The start were on the wrong side of the start,
yeah,
facing in the wrong direction.
Right.
And everyone just kind of coalesced.
So it's a mass, messy, mixed ability start.
And then as you would probably... Absolutely, you just pointed out, right in the middle of that is a little clutch of men.
Yeah.
Right where the start line
yes.
is.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're going to run off really fast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
After
yeah.
clicking their watches.
Yeah.
Of course they are. That's yeah. part of the community, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So...
And just as we celebrate people who walk and do it in 45 minutes, there's no reason not to celebrate people who run and do it in 15 and a half.
That's it. That's how the... You know? That's the democracy of it.
Yeah.
You can't. No one is more or less important than anyone else. And I just think, from a logistical point of view, I mean, this, in a way, this doesn't have to be tangled up with that culture war. It's just you got to watch the logistics when it's that big.
Yeah.
There's a few things you need. I mean, I get an idea. You know, when you're at a comedy gig.
Yeah.
And someone says, "I'm not going to use the microphone."
Right.
I always think. Well, you should.
Yeah.
Because it's a gig.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
It makes you easier to hear, but there's much more to it than that. It makes you...
It gives you authority.
It gives you authority.
Yeah.
It makes the gig into a gig.
Yeah.
All that stuff. And I always feel like people are very apologetic about the megaphone at
right.
the parkrun. The guy at this parkrun used the megaphone.
Right.
But the woman who did the... newcomers briefing went, oh good, I won't use the microphone.
Right.
It's like, what's so good about it? It's 750 people here.
Yeah.
Even with a megaphone.
It's hard work, yeah.
Yeah, and the moment once you've said two things, everyone starts talking.
Yeah.
You know, tell him to shut up.
Yeah.
He told everyone to be quiet, this guy, and he started, and then everyone was quiet for a minute, and they started talking.
Right.
I really wanted him to be strict.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have minded.
Because you were a first-timer.
Yeah, I wanted to know what
you
was happening.
You wanted to know what's going on, yeah.
And, but I think they're just logistics, but then they have... They're addressing it to some extent because the finish funnel was really long, zigzag, like a queue in Argos, you know.
Right.
And they're saying, come, keep running as you come in, jog, warm down so you're still moving forward and keeping in line, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, a lot of people are just ignoring you there because they were running really fast and they're not running anymore, you know.
Yeah.
But I totally understand that they're not only they've set that up, but they're also selling it quite hard.
Right.
And just to apply that logic across the board, you know.
Yeah.
Would be my tip. So it was absolutely lovely. I don't want to come at you with negatives here. Eastfield Park was great. And also, the volunteers were lovely, and there were loads of them.
Right.
It's a big course, goes to loads of different places in the park.
Yeah.
It's.
Can we nip across to that thing there?
Yeah, let's do it. So that was great. And
so out of the 750, what, 250 volunteers, did you say?
That's right. So, it's one-to-one.
Right.
750 is one-to-one.
I'll be your volunteer for the morning.
But bless the volunteers. I mean, they're running such a big event there.
Yeah.
And I thank them. And honestly, here we go again, because I thank them all. Thumbs up, smiles, actual thank yous.
Yeah.
There was a guy near me pushing a pushchair right at the front.
Yeah.
And he said, thank you, Marshall, to every marshal. And I can't help but think he was telling everyone else off.
Yeah,
it's like, yes, the other 750 of us, for that is how many other people weren't doing that, are also grateful. It was deeply performative.
I think that might have been the best observation you've ever come out with during running commentary. There you go, mate.
Yeah, but it's
doing the running commentary. But I honestly think it was...
I know that someone somewhere is thinking, well, the marshals do a wonderful job. And it's like, that's not my point. But there we go.
Yeah.
That's the danger. Yeah.
The marshals do a wonderful job.
Thank you, marshals.
Thank you.
I mean it.
And we're grateful for them.
Just not bellowing it.
What's the point? Why do they even bother with them? It's crazy, isn't it? It's pointless.
Are you sure that green one's not open?
Yeah, it's not. It's not open.
Did you get a really good tuck?
Yeah.
Is someone playing the bagpipes in the park?
Yeah. Completely pointless. Yeah. I think I'll be all right. We'll just run to the reservoir.
Let's go to that
one. Okay,
cool. The toilets were locked, guys. He's not happy, are you? He's not happy. Look at the size of these goats.
I just don't see the point in having them. But anyway. So go on then, how was the course?
Do you know what? It was really tough.
Right.
It's hilly.
Yeah.
So it's a three-lap course.
Yeah.
But one lap is much longer. So you do one, the start line is on the contour of the hill.
Yeah.
Right, halfway up the hill. It's very Grand Old Duke of York.
Right.
And you start there and you turn left and you drop down.
Yeah.
Run across the bottom of the park and come back up.
Right.
And that run up the end, it's good. It's not a super steep hill.
Right.
It's not as steep as that one in Ali Pali, but it's further.
Yeah.
And it's really, and it's in that first lap, you've only been going
it's
about
gonna stay.
K.
Just
warming into it, just begin to feel it. I found it tough. And then I come back across and you go again. And the next time, you sort of take a left at the bottom of the park and go much further away. And you go all the way around the lake and back.
Right.
Which is excellent. And then you get back to, and like I say, so wonderful because you're going to, as a visitor, you're going to these mysterious bits of the park and running off into the distance. And then you meet, there's someone there, says hi, and they're the marshal.
Thank you.
They've gone right, you know, don't worry, I'll tuck myself into the very corner down by the lake. So thank you, marshals.
Thank you, all the marshals.
And
thank you, marshal.
And then you come back up the hill, but you go much longer. So there's it starts with a really steep hill.
Right.
Then you run up a bit. Then you go the hill that you've already done once. And then you carry on all the way to the top of the park.
Nice.
It was full on. These ladies over here are doing a ballroom dancing based exercise session.
Oh, nice. Good fun.
Yeah, nice one.
What a
good old Cliss Old Park.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
It's really interesting. Well, the listeners will be the judge of that.
Yeah.
But the third lap,
you
come back down the hill and you pick up, you basically do the first rectangular lap again.
Yeah.
And I found it interesting how psychologically, the last little hill were so hard.
Right.
Because the long hill is the long hill, right?
Yeah.
It's like, and the just it was like the in-race PTSD of going back to it one more time.
Yes, yeah.
Haven't we done enough?
Yeah.
So even though that was...
No
and
mercy.
Also that's combining that with just a really complicated relationship with pace, because you've got to go slower because it's a hill, you've got to try and go as fast as you were because you don't want to fade over the run, and you're now in with all the people of all the different speeds on the run, so you want to use the space well but in a kind way. You know, it's just a lot going on there, and I found that kind of quite emotionally exhausting. And I came round the corner, I like it when you've got a path one that finishes on the mud, because it slightly damps down the sprinting.
Just a bit softer. Yeah, it's nice to have a bit of a softer finish, yeah.
But I really liked it a lot. It was a lovely community. I spoke to a woman who'd never done it before. We just, where's the start line and which way does it go? She kind of said it to me, and I was like, oh, damn it, I was going to ask you. And then
it's a nice moment.
And she was like, run walking, and she was in a totally different point in the field to me, but I was there recording my... Running Church Radio, and I saw her, and she was like, oh, well done. I was like, oh, yeah, it really is, what you say is true. The idea of it is a wonderful community thing. So the idea of that, of policing what that community is to serve that, is pretty much exactly wrong.
Yeah.
But that's okay. They're doing a difficult job.
Yeah,
they're doing
it
in the public eye, you know.
Yeah, they're doing their best with it. It's fine. It's all fine.
There you go. Snowdrops and purple crocuses and yellow crocuses all together.
Crocuses and tips.
Snowflakes fall on my nose and eyelashes.
These are a few of my...
Did you know that song is in my Running Church Radio this week?
Yeah, it's a great
Did
tune.
You even know?
It's a great tune. No,
you've been listening to it, haven't you? It's because it bangs.
It's a banger. You
know, it's a banger. When the shark bites. Shark bites? Where have these kids been playing? When the jellyfish stings, when you're in the sea, I simply remember my favourite things and hope they don't sack me. Why did Maria take us into the ocean, Daddy? Go to bed, children. I really fancy it.
We've got a bit of a...
Do I have to run back to your house?
No, absolutely not. No, you can run back to however you want. We can finish it now if you want.
Let's run up to the corner, because I feel like it was a bit abrupt if we stopped straight away.
We've got a bit of a issue with the cleaners at the minute. We've basically got rid of... We let our cleaners go.
It's a first world problem, Paul.
Pardon?
It's a first world problem.
Yeah.
It's a first world problem.
They just kept... They were lovely, but they always needed pain and cash. They smoked a lot. They didn't work very hard. And they kept ramping up the rates.
Yeah.
So we got rid of them.
Yeah.
And we'll miss them. Yeah. And Rachel's left it for me to sort of clean.
Yeah.
So...
Or to clean.
So I've sorted out this... woman called Natalia, because I've always resented and not really been into having a cleaner. I feel a bit uncomfortable with it. I'm not quite right with it.
I understand.
But Rachel's always liked it. So I've got this, reached out and got this woman called Natalia, who's Ukrainian, and she's coming for a few hours every week. And
so it wouldn't be appropriate to shout, give me the codes of Natalia in a Russian accent like Alan Cumming in Goldeneye. That would actually be in very bad taste.
It's
give me the codes, Natalia! I had to get it out of my system.
And it's £17 an hour, and it's all hunky-dory. And by the time Rachel comes back, the house will have been cleaned because Natalia's been here. There's only one problem.
Yeah.
Natalia doesn't exist.
Oh, no.
I'm pretending to be Natalia.
So
I'm going to do the cleaning.
I didn't mean to out you when I was asking.
No. I'm going to do the cleaning and not tell Rachel.
This is really twisted.
See how long it lasts. The question is, because Rachel's always at work when Natalia's here.
Yeah. I know how long it's going to last. I know exactly how long it's going to last.
I'm basically sourcing outfits just in case Rachel comes back from work early.
I don't think
Natalia,
sourcing.
Hello, Rachel! Rachel!
Just called down from upstairs.
I'm hoping, because it'll save us like £200 a month.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
Do you know when it's...
For something that I don't really want.
Can I tell you when it's going to end?
Go on,
it'll be within the first week when
Rachel.
She is critical of Natalia's cleaning.
Well, I'll just say take it up with Natalia.
No, you're going to say, oh, it's actually really, it took me ages.
I mean, I'll say, take it over and tell you, and then she'll ring the number that I've given her that's a different number that connected to a burner phone that I've got. And I'll go upstairs and go, Rachel. And the drama will continue indefinitely.
Yeah, I think in a relationship, honesty is best, but... I had a PR person for one of my tours.
Yeah.
A woman, is really good on email. She was called Cherry Templer.
Nice, yeah.
She was quite similar to Natalia. Yeah. But of course, I wasn't trying to advertise my show to my wife.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how long it lasts. We'll see how long. But I mean, I've been pretty bored, and Rachel hasn't been there, no one else has, and the house is looking pretty tidy, to be honest.
quick run round
with a mop tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Who's to know? This Natalia is good, isn't she? She's really good.
Yeah.
She's really thorough.
Yeah, see, that sounds great until she isn't good. That's what I mean.
Well, have a chat with Natalia.
Like no one's touched it.
Tell you what, I'll have
Natalia was in there for 3/4 of an hour.
Tell you what, I'll have a word with Natalia. I can sort that. Then Rachel goes to work and Natalia comes out. She does the toilet.
Yeah, if anything,
I get more specific reacting to Rachel's complaints.
Yeah, I see. Unless you get... I notice that your emotions are staying very cool. It's because you've got a secret. You'll be like... Excellent. Well, good plan. That's really wise. There's no downside to that at all.
Save loads of money.
Great.
My chest feels fine when I stop, but I'm a little bit concerned about it.
Maybe you should
because
not.
Because it has been hurting.
Should you stop? How far have you gone today now?
How long have we been going?
1 second. I went to the wrong device. We're waiting on the corner of... Standing on the corner at the corner of the street until a certain little lady goes by.
Well,
we have done... 2 and 3, we've probably been going an hour and a quarter now.
I've been running about 2.5 hours. I'm going to run home, it'll be about half an hour.
Yeah.
That'll be fine, but it's just, if it continues, I'm obviously going to have to get it checked out. That's the thing.
I
can't be setting off to the desert with a sort of steadily tightening heart.
Some kind of murmur.
No. But I'm hoping,
trouble is
I'm
when
hoping
you go
it's
see
a
the doctor about a murmur, that can go wrong.
Yeah.
So what is it?
And also they'll think, it's like, my heart's feeling a bit stressed out every now and again. During what? When I run for 3.5 hours? Do you know what I mean? They don't really respect that sort of thing, do they?
Yeah.
But
Yeah, and you have to go to the doctor, you know.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to see doctors these days, but you've got to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very much a Republican. But I did momentarily, I mean, obviously the king is now dealing with a much more serious illness. But when he went into the hospital for his prostate, that's the most kinship I've ever felt with royalty.
Because
I need to get someone to have a look at mine.
Yeah.
And when I say have a look at, I mean, not have a look at. I suppose they do have to. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't taken my well man check yet. I'm really... probably going to put that off to about time. About 80.
And that's crazy because we're comedians. evidence would suggest that there's 10 minutes of material coming for
every time a comic has a prospect.
Oh, God.
Buy me a cup of tea first, mate. Take me for a date. Yeah.
My favourite joke in that line is when Chevy Chase is in hospital and he's fronting it out.
Right.
He goes to see Emmett Walsh.
Right.
And Emmett Walsh gives him a prostate check when he's not expecting it.
Right.
Yeah, for Chevy Chase, so good. Lena goes, so Doc, do you normally move? Do you want my hands up there, Doc? That is a good
And he's got both hands on my shoulders. What?
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
We're back in the comedy club.
Yeah.
Listen, we've had some great correspondence, some really interesting conversations, some good, some bad. We'll talk about all of it. Also, some brilliant PBs this week. We'll collate those and get them next week. But we're not going to do it right now because, as we said, this week's episode, there's only one PB, and it's the current marathon world record.
Oh, God bless
from him. The late
Kelvin Kipson.
So sad.
It was a dark night last night.
Terrible news. Yeah. And... here's to it, really. Mm. Our whole community is running in Kelvin's memory this week.
Yeah.
He's waving to the crowd, kisses. An amazing effort by Kelvin Kiptum for a new world record at the Bank of America Chicago Marathon.
And this is the future for a man who said his family could not afford to get him to the track, for a man that went out on the roads in Kenya and put the work in, for a man that trained by himself and coached himself for a long time. This is what it's all about.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. Remember, you can subscribe to us on Acast Plus now for ad-free listening and more.
Happy running. Love you.
Kiss, kiss.